let me just preface things by saying this. You've heard us mention Urban Ignition for many weeks. We asked you to pray a whole lot. But just to remind you that, some of the kids are going out. Because the conference room is all busy, the children are going with George and Wendy. Any children? And they're going off to the manse. They've given us a room in the manse to use this morning. So that's where they'll be. Don't get lost, Celine. Stay with George. Shame. Even Matthew's going with. Okay. He's not in a huge hurry, but he's getting there. So just to let you know, Urban Ignition is, it's started in Durban. It was modeled on Soul Survivor. Matt Nix and James was over in the UK and just looking at what they were doing with young people, like, I don't know, could be 20 years ago now or whatever, 15 years ago. And so they came back and started doing this sort of this annual camp and opening up to the Vineyard. It started with Durban Vineyard, but just opening it up to the Vineyard nationally. And I think many of us, I know Robin and I have agonized over this like so many years. It feels like for the last 5 years at least, we've been trying to get our young people to go along, and we just hear the stories, and Matt is inviting everyone. And there's always been something. You know, Matt thinks it's the perfect opportunity for all the kids to come, but then it's not private school holidays in Gauteng, or it's not government school holidays or something like that. So it really has been, it feels like it's been something that for many years we've just really wanted to do. So even last year, Pabalo went from Following Jesus and Alex went, and last year I was convinced we were going to get a carload of kids to go, and it just didn't work again with the schools and that kind of thing. So this desire of mine just to send 5 or 6 kids landed up being like 55 kids this year. So we kind of went, you know, it felt like a bit of sink or swim, you know, feast or it was just so. Anyhow, it was wonderful that so many of them went, and I got to hear little bits and pieces on the group and that kind of thing. But I thought it would be good just to hear some of these stories. And as we celebrate what God is doing with young people, we also reminded that he's not finished with us. You know, he's trying to do everything with everyone, amazingly. Okay, Alex, over to you.
Hello, Hillside. First of all, I just want to say thank you to all of you who prayed and just put in all the hard work behind your own closed doors to make this camp happen. It was amazing. It was spirit-filled. It was tragic. It was a disaster. But God came through and he just showed up, and it was just impeccable. It was, as Matt said, he never experienced the spirit move at an Urban Ignition like that before. So it was really magnificent. So to start, before I tell all the kids' stories, I was going to get them to come up one by one, starting with Jaden, because he's the furthest in the room. Just to give me a highlight of the camp and what was awesome to experience. Yay!
Morning, everyone. Okay, where can I start, actually? The camp was nice, enjoyed my time. We made a few friends, good ones and sketchy ones. Highlights. Going to the beach, that was nice. Even though we didn't get to swim, but yeah.
There were sharks and jellyfish. That's what we told them.
What else? Tuesday night, that was also nice. Worship night, Circle of Life, that was a good time. And yeah, team games as well. Alex helping us cheat.
We did not cheat. We definitely won though, just to let you know.
Yeah, those are my highlights. Yeah.
Yeah, so on the camp, I don't know if anybody's clued in on this, but I was the designated villain. There was a constitutional law that had been written in by a law student who was running all the games, and he made the huge mistake of one of the first lines being, Alex doesn't have to follow the rules. So hence, we destroyed the competition, even though I wasn't on a team. We beat them by miles, and when they figure out how we beat them by miles, I think they're gonna cry because it was actually so simple. Asher, will you come and speak? What were your highlights?
My highlights was definitely Tuesday night. That was. My highlight was definitely Tuesday night. It was so lovely to see the Holy Spirit touch many, many kids. Quite nerve-wracking because you heard a lot of them screaming and then you realized why. The team games were fun. Eventually, my team got really scared of Alex, but we held our ground. Meeting new people was lovely. Experiencing new things was also amazing. So, thank you.
So Asher was the only Hillside-y that was on a different team. Unfortunately, that means that she lost quite badly. So we played this game. It was called the chicken game, and everybody had a rubber chicken. I was supposed to bring them all because it was my job to steal the chickens from the teams. And you got points at the end if you had more chickens than anybody else. I stole all the chickens at the end. They're all at our flat, actually. I sent a... Yeah, I stole that one for Luke. And Tuor has one. So there's 7 chickens in Joburg and 2 in Durban at the moment. So we've just shown them who the better province is by miles. And on top of that, they're all at Hillside, so we're definitely the best church in Gauteng. yes, but we won by miles. The team name of the Hillside team, I call them the Hillside team because they were the Hillside team. That was Matt's biggest mistake, was the Drama Llamas. And the kids were brilliant. They had to make a flag. And it took me forever to catch what was going on in the flag. And it was a llama playing drums, a drummer llama. It was very, very clever. And they won the best flag of Urban Ignition, so that's awesome. Thank you, Kira, for that. And on that note, on that segue, Kira, will you come and share?
Hello. So my highlight was getting to meet new people. I think by the end, all of the churches throughout Durban and Joburg really bonded together. And it was really good to build that community with other people and to go through the experiences we did over camp. That's it.
Yes, there were lots of new people. There are some churches in Gauteng whom we shall not mention that are hereby forbidden from coming to Hillside for various reasons, which I will not go into detail about. Joss, will you come share?
Good morning. So you've all heard a lot about this Tuesday night. I just want to explain a little bit about it more because you might not know what's going on or what happened. So we had worship, and we all got these little pieces of paper to write things we wanted to give to Jesus and to God. And so we all wrote these down, put it in the fire, then sang worship, and then the Holy Spirit just came down and smacked us all. People were on the floor screaming, falling over. It was just incredible. So that's definitely one of my highlights, just seeing that and experiencing some of it too, and seeing people that I know and I've known for years going through, and just the Holy Spirit coming down and hopefully changing their lives. Another highlight is met a lot of new people, met a lot of new friends. 2 a.m. talks in the dorm were great. Sharing snacks with each other. That bag of marshmallows that got demolished in 10 seconds. So it's just overall a great experience. And it was good winning as well. Don't need to go into the details of how we won, but we did. And also, the tour holding onto that chicken with his life. He slept with it everywhere he went. Like, if tour didn't have the chicken, then the world wasn't real. And he still has one of them now. So, yeah. Thank you.
So many people at Hillside on a Sunday haven't met Tool. He's come once or twice on a Sunday. He's a lovely, lovely young guy. He gave his life to the Lord this last week. But he is an absolute competitor, like a proper gladiator. So I stole every team's chickens except for his, because I'm so scared of him, to be perfectly honest. But he's a fantastic young man, and like to see him grow as well was amazing. Even when he lost, he won, which was amazing, and I've never seen that in him before. So I'm just going to give you a bit of a summation of what happened, and maybe Lee will come in and say a few words. Oh no, I've just got given the hairy eyebrow, so that's not going to happen. So we just had a wonderful trip. We left here bright and early. It was terrible to get up that early, but we got on the bus and everybody was happy, and most of the kids slept, which was great for us. And we got there safely. We had the most amazing bus driver. Thank you again, guys, for praying for that. It was just, he was amazing. He kept to himself, and he got us there in a breeze, and he was a safe driver. It was awesome. But we get to the other side, and it's only about 20 degrees hotter than Joburg, so we're all in shorts in about 30 seconds. We went to the dorms first. I promise you, I didn't let the kids change on the lawn. But yeah, it was the most monumental experience. So on Monday night, there was a bit of havoc caused, as teenagers do. There was a bit of trouble in the woods. It was none of our kids, by the way. We are fantastic children. I've raised them well, and I. But I think the main reason they were good is because I put the fear of God in them before we left. So we were all good, but there was a bit of a disaster, and some of the leaders were so disappointed in their kids and so upset, and we got to interrogate some kids on Tuesday night. We had all the boys on the field in their boxers, barefoot, while Matt shouted at them, and I'm just smiling. I'm just like having the best time of my life. I was, I know I shouldn't have, but I was having a great time. And after the drama that happened with our kids was done, I was really enjoying myself. But the leaders were quite depressed, and they were quite sad. Oh no, my kids have done this, and I'm just so gleeful. I'm just so excited because. In my life, what I've learned is that when things go bad, God is going to do something big. And you know what? He just showed up the next night. And I spent the following day after all the naughtiness had occurred, pastoring all the naughty kids from other churches, telling them it was going to be okay, and disarming their shame and that kind of stuff. At the end, I had them all smiling, which was good, and they reintegrated into their groups, and everybody was happy chappies, and it was good. But then that night, I said to them, just expect something. Expect something impossible, and that's exactly what happened. And even Pabalo, who was furious that none of the kids had listened to his sermons, said, okay, I'm not going to preach tonight. I'm just going to be expectant and let's welcome the Holy Spirit. And we did our little burning of our burdens at the fire, and God just showed up in the most amazing way. It was really, really spectacular, like to feel the fire in your bones and just to burn for Jesus. And kids were praying for kids, and leaders were praying for leaders, and people that weren't being prayed for were just being delivered. And it was just spectacular. I cannot thank God enough, because we here thinking, oh no, we've got to run this thing. And he just came and said, you guys are idiots. Let me do it. And he did. And afterwards, I went to Kira and Asha, and I said, how did you enjoy that clap? Because for me, whenever the Spirit comes, it's a clap, because I need a clap. Because I've normally done something that deserves it. And they were like, no, it wasn't a clap. It was so nice. And I was like, you guys are good kids. So we thank God for that. And it was really amazing. And we thank you for your prayers. And we thank you for this community who's just lifted up this youth and lifted up these amazing kids. And as they grow and they take over, hopefully one day, sooner rather than later, we just pray that God can continue moving in Hillside and in our congregation.
Thanks, Alex. So in summary, the Holy Spirit was great, and Alex taught everyone how to steal chickens. I'm still a bit confused on some of those details. So little few things were referenced to. The Circle of Life, was that what happened on Tuesday night?
It was devotions in the morning. So we did that on the beach. Which was quite nice. Devotions on the beach.
Okay, so Circle of Life, devotions on the beach every morning.
Well, the first morning. The second morning
it was... Right. Guys in boxer shorts on the field.
Yeah.
Okay. Why Alex? So just context for some of you, Alex did a degree in music at WITS. So just to put it in, you know, so people misbehaving in his mind is sort of something like this, like some of the other people know. So one young man bringing just a vape, electronic vape thing that he shouldn't have, is not really what, you know, it wasn't like Alex's sort of like, this is the worst that could go wrong kind of stuff. So let me just mention it to you. There weren't hard drugs and, you know, people being sold into slavery, but it did cause enough of a consternation, you know, because when you say, you know, it depends. I mean, John's looking around there and thinking, oh, wow, is that all it was? So, yeah, you've got to just put it in a category and everything like that. But it's actually amazing to hear. Yeah, anything else? Lee, did you want to add anything? Yeah, come. Bev is luckily has to say something. Thank you.
Yeah, I think Alex and I were a little bit more in the background on the camp. But I think what I said to the kids on Youth on Friday is the kids that went on the bus to Durban are not the same kids that came back to Joburg. So lots of hearts changed, I think, lots of... And I think the vaping situation, I think God needed to bring things to light so that people could be real with God and real with what's happening in their hearts. So, yeah, it was good.
Thanks, Lee. So the challenge is, again, just to think, it's not something that we pray for, and now it's over, and we think about it next year and that, but really to think, you know, what else does God want to do with some of our young people and our community and, you know, things like that. So we really, I think, need to continue to pray that what happened at the camp with our young people and the other 120 kids that were there, it just continues. You know, that takes root and it just produces more fruit and affects people around and families and friends at school and us and things like that. And then also just to think, well, you know, do we keep on sending the kids down to Durban every year, or do we do things up here? That kind of thing. Alex, I know I tend to be a bit of a worrier, you know. He does just every now and then, you know. But I mean, there were nights that, I mean, a bus on the N3 was not something I was very excited about. You know, you remember those stories of the guys with, you know, I don't know if you remember these, but Coca-Cola, apparently at one stage, you know, like 50 years ago or whatever, there were two people that had the complete formula for Coca-Cola, and neither of them could travel on the same plane together. You know, you remember those kind of things and things like that. So I was thinking, here is the youth and all the leaders of like four churches all on this bus together. And I was like, this is just a lot, you know. So anyhow, thank you for praying. And we, you know, just, I just think it's something to keep praying about. So I was a bit concerned about that and very, very excited to hear that everyone was there safely and arrived home safely and that kind of thing. So it's cold, and we said we're going to end in communion. And so I'd just like to kind of go back to, you know, it might be some of the things that you've heard or even just where we were in worship. So as we come to break bread together, we remember that this very, very simple ritual or practice has been celebrated like before Jesus was crucified. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, on the night that he was betrayed. And then the early church began to do this regularly. They broke bread from house to house in their meetings during the week on Sundays. So the simple exercise of taking bread in whatever form, and I'm sure in different cultures and in different continents, it looks completely differently. And taking wine or, you know, there's some churches where you have a sip of that wine, you think, oh, this is really good. You know, and there are other churches that it, you know, it's like the most watered-down grape juice that you've, you know, tasted in a long time. And it doesn't matter. But the simple thing of taking this bread and taking this cup has been celebrated and has been part of Christian life and practice right from the beginning of the church. And when we come and do this, Paul remembered in 1 Corinthians 11 Jesus' words. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And so, again, I always think, you know, you can look at Ephesians and all these different passages and things like that. But I just think of the simple, simple thing of we take the bread and we consume it. And on the one hand, we remember that Jesus died, he gave his life for us, so that we would be forgiven, cleansed, made new, transformed. But also so that we would belong to him. And that was the thing that was just sitting with me in the worship. It's like this name. People use the name of Jesus as a swear word. You know, people use it glibly. People know of the word. But when we partake in communion, we remember that our Savior gave his life for us, that we could belong to him. And in that very sense of what Paul was talking about in Ephesians and other letters, he says, he is in us and we are in him. That's how intimate That's the relationship that we have. The name of Jesus is it's not just a name we call on. It's not just a formula. It's not some magic button. Oh, God out there, come and help me. It's this Savior, this God, has come to dwell and make his home in our hearts. He comes to dwell in us so that we would be one with him and that we would become like him. And so there's that, just that intimacy and the way that we hold his name and who he is and what he did for us in a completely different way. Historians from the Romans to the Jews never denied he existed. They confirmed that he was crucified. They struggled with the fact that he rose again, and there were different reports about they claimed that he rose, and maybe they stole the body, and you know, think, but none of this has been in dispute. It's facts that are known. But for us, we hold this in a precious, precious way. He has become our Lord, our Savior. His name is on my lips in a way that is sometimes even hard to express. I know that he is in me and I'm in him. And that's what we remember with communion. We belong to him. We are his. We're not just part of a family or a different community. He has come to live in us and with us and make us like him. So as we take the bread this morning, I ask you just to hold it and receive it. Not as a formula, but as a reminder that he has come to dwell in you and live with you and live through you.